Today's daf is Chulin Daf Ches, and we are at the very top line, the very first word of Daf Ches Amid Aleph, Amir Abzeira, Amar Shmuel. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Eliezer Yeshaya Ben Bracha. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Henya Masha Bas Rav Shlomo HaKoyen. That's my grandmother, Mrs. Helen Meir. Today is her 21st yahrzeit. May today's learning and all the learning that we do b'chabura be a schus and an aliyah for her nesham. So we're moving along here in the beginning of the first parak of Maseches Chulin, dealing with halachos related to shechita. The first several dafin of the Masechta, as we saw, dealt with the opening line of the Masechta, Hakol Shechtin u'shechitasin k'sheira. Hakol asu yemai, and is that hakol allowed to shecht l'chatchila, or is that hakol only allowed to shecht b'di'evet? Today's daf is going to move on from that topic and going to get into some very important halachos related to shechita. The truth is, Chulin Daf Ches actually is a daf that requires an asterisk. We're going to say that a lot in Masechtas Chulin. But ironically, the asterisk that Chulin Daf Ches requires is less as it relates to its significance and its prominence in Hilchas Shechita, although it is significant and prominent in Hilchas Shechita, more, however, as it relates to its significance and prominence in the laws of Basar V'Cholav and Taruvos. There's a lot of Rishonim here on Chulin Daf Ches that relate to a very basic fundamental understanding of Blius and Platus, which are all very much the topic of the latter part of the Masechta. If you've ever learned Basar V'Cholav, Taruvos and Yeshiva, you know that there's a big Rajba on Chulin Daf Ches, but really Rishonim galore that permeate the Gemara that we are going to learn today. Of course, given the allotted time that we have, we're going to do what we do. And without further ado, Zok the Heilige Gemara, Am Reb Zeira Mar Shmuel. Reb Zeira said in the name of his great Rebbe Shmuel, Li Bein Sakin, if somebody would take a knife and he would make it very, very hot, V'shachat Ba, and then he would shecht an animal, Shechitas Chulin, Shechitas and Ksheira, the halach is the Shechita would be kosher. Now, why would you think that the Shechita is not kosher? Because being that the Sakin is very hot, it's possible that before the Shechit severed the two simonim of the animal, he burnt the simonim. That's what caused the animal to die. And if that's the case, it wasn't a Shechita per se that ultimately effectuated the death of this animal. It was rather the Sreifa. And if that's the case, this animal is going to be an avela. But Reb Zeira said in the name of Shmuel, you don't have to worry about that. And the reason is, chiduda koidem lilibuna. Before the knife has an opportunity to burn the animal, it severs the beis simonim. So the chidud, the sharpness of the knife, takes out the animal before the libun, before the heat of the knife does, and as a result, it's a kosher shechita. This is not something you have to worry about. Now, just as a segue before the next line of Gemara, the Gemara understands that the reason this is true is because how do you shecht the animal? You're shechting it with the sharp part of the knife. Visualize it, or maybe don't try to visualize it too much, but think of a very, very dangerous messer. It's very, very sharp, and that sharpness goes quickly through the simonim. It takes it out. The sharpness, the spitz of the knife is very, very small. Because it's very small, it doesn't have the ability to contain so much heat. As a result, there's an idea of chidud kaidam lilibuna. The Gemara, however, is about to argue that the sides, the flat portion of the knife on both sides, that's much wider. As a result, you would think that has the ability to absorb heat. And if that's the case, even if it's true chidud kaidam lilibuna, but maybe the heat that's on the side of the knife is going to be mashpia on the animal, albeit after the chiduda, and that in and of itself should be a problem. Now, what would be the problem? Let's speak it out al peh. Even though it's true, the chidud is what makes first impact as it relates to the two simanim of the animal, but it takes a little bit of time for it to happen. Being that the sides of the knife are going to touch the two simanim during that period of time, meaning from when the shechita starts until the shechita finishes, the sides of the knife are going to go and going to singe the animal, and if they singe the animal, even if you want to deem it that ultimately the animal died because of the chidud, but at the same time when it singes the two simanim, it creates some wound, a hole, Rashi says, in the simanim, and based on a sugi and elu treifas, we know that if there's a neck of even a kol shu in the kana of the veshet, that would render it and make it into a treifa. Thus, the Gemara, as we'll see inside in a second, is questioning that even if you want to tell me chidudah kaidem lilibuna, that's probably based on the fact, because how much heat do you actually have in the chidud? But you have heat on the side of the knife, and the heat on the side of the knife should be mashpia, and at the very least, we should say, maybe it's not killing it, the chidud is what's killing it, so I can say, no, for sure there was a maaseh shechita that took place, but at the very least, it should render it a treifa, because it did something to it before the gemara of the shechita, and shechita's treifa in and of itself is initials. Let's see it inside now. Don't you have the sides of the knife, and the sides of the knife are much wider, as a result there's more heat there, and as a result it's going to be seirefes de simanim. And if that's the case, Rashi, v'nimsa shi nisrefa koidem shchita sharei veshe nikuvase b'mash litaref v'sreifa kenekefu. At the very least, it's going to do a little bit of a something, because there's going to be a little bit of a hole, and therefore there should be an issue of a treifa. But the Gemara says this is not an issue. You know why? Because beis hashchita mirvach ravach. It's based on a metzias. The metzias is that as soon as the knife, the pointy part of the knife, goes through the kana and the veshet, what happens is the kana and the veshet split, and the two sides, mirvach ravach, they separate from themselves enough that the sides of the knife are not going to be able to touch them. So being that chiduda is koidem lilibuna, because how much heat is there really on the chidud, and the minute the chidud happens at that port, there's an inyan of mirvach ravach, so the sides don't have the ability to go ahead and do anything. So the misa happened al yedei shchita, it never became a treifa, hence Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Shmuel, li bein sakin v'shachat ba shchitas l'ksheira. And again, it's based on two chidushim. Number one, chiduda kaidem lulibuna. Number two, beis hashchita mirvach ravach. Says the Gemara, Ibay Elohu, the Bnei Yeshiva had a shayla, li bein shvud. In the event that somebody took a spit and he made it very, very hot, v'hikabay, and he hit himself or he hit somebody with it, and then that person developed tzaras, mishum shchin nidoin? Does that tzaras now become subject to the laws of a tzaras of shchin? Oy mishum michva nidoin? Or does it now get judged based on the laws of tzaras as it relates to a michva? So what does this mean? Well, we have to take a step back. It requires a little bit of an introduction. So really, the next 10 or so lines is where the laws of tumas tzaras meet mesechtes chulin. So the other day we had where Erevin meets Chulin, now we have where the laws of Tumas Tzaras meet the laws of Chulin. The common denominator between the two is where two very difficult sugis in Shas meet a difficult Masecht in Shas, Masecht is Chulin. But regardless, this is the Hakdama that we need. So we know there's a concept called Tzaras. Tzaras is loosely translated some discoloration of the skin. Now, we know not all negoyim and not all tzarases were created equally. What we need for our sugya is that there's a type of tzaras that comes machmas shchin. There's a type of tzaras that comes machvas michva. A michva is a burn. Working backwards. What's shchin? So usually when you think of shchin, you think of makah shchin. You think of one of the 10 makas. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says shchin is loshen chamimus, kemoy shana shchuna, of a dry year. Shchin is actually similar to michva. Ad kidei kach, the Gemara is even going to question, ma bein shchin la michva, but it's also something that is related to some heat. The English translation is, it's some form of an inflammation. But here's the point. The point is that if somebody has a burn, as a result of the burn, his skin can be discolored. Right? If somebody is hit and as a result there's some inflammation, right? Something's brewing underneath the skin. Well, that can cause now that the skin is going to have some sort of discoloration. When you go through the Psukim in the Torah, you see that there's some unique status as it relates to the laws of Tzaras that came as a result of a Shechin, and this laws as it relates to a Tzaras that comes a Yedeya a Mikvah. Not to give the whole Gemara away, but the Gemara is going to bring a Braisa that's going to say, what is the Chilik between a Shechin and a Mikvah? Again, we're translating it. One is a burn, the other is an inflammation. I mean, in both cases, it sounds like you have to see a doctor, right? But what exactly is the Chilik? So the Gemara is going to say a Mikvah is when somebody was physically burnt. So if somebody was physically burnt, it came through fire or told us, Eish, that's when it's considered a Mikvah. Shechin is where somebody was hit and there is some sort of heat, hence the word Shechin Miloshen Shchuna. Rashi says Loshen Chamimus, but at the same time, it wasn't a burn. It didn't come Al-Yidei Eish, it didn't come Al-Yidei Fire. The bottom line is, these are the two Negam that we need to be familiar with. Now, it's interesting, if you go through the Psukei HaTorah, when the Torah outlines what the halachas of Shechin are and what the halachas of the mikvah, they're identical. Ad kidei kach, the Gemara is going to bring a price and the Gemara is going to mutch a little bit. What would be the difference? But again, with that little bit of an introduction, Ibla Yeluhu, the Bnei Yeshiva had a shayla. What would be if Leib Einshfut, somebody took a spit and he made it very, very hot, vehikaboy, and then he hit somebody. And then that person went and developed a tzaras. What's the shayla? Mishum shchin nidoin? That saras that he has right now. Do we view it as shchin or do we view it as mifcha? On the one hand, it came through a hit. There was a hikabai. Being that there was a hikabai and now there's some sort of inflammation over here, I could hear that it would be considered shchin. But then again, how was he hit? He was hit with a spit that was very, very hot. It was libein shvud. So being that it was libein shvud, so maybe over here, we should view this tzaras as actually being a tzaras of mikvah. Right? Just say this a little bit better. If somebody would be libein shvud and then somebody would touch it and he would develop a tzaras, it's pashut, that would be mikvah. If somebody would take a shvud, he wouldn't be malabin it and he would hit somebody. It's pashut, it would be shchin. Over here he did both. It was libein shvud vehikabai. So do I look at it as shchin because it was a shvud vehikabai, or do I look at it as mikvah because it was a libein shvud vehikabai? Says the Gemara, l'may nafkemina. What really is the nafkemina? Meaning, why is it a shayla l'may nafkemina? Because if you look in the Psukei HaTorah, you'll see that the laws of Shechin and the laws of Mikvah as it relates to Tzaras, as we mentioned earlier, are identical. So if that's the case, what is the Nafkamina? So the Gemara now is going to have a little bit of an Arichas, and it's all building up to try to explain and demonstrate what the Nafkamina, the Shaila. Says the Gemara, look at the Tanya. Shechin u'mikvah metamin b'shavua echad b'shnei simonim b'sar lovin u'bepisyon. So most Tzaras, if somebody had Nega, and he went to the Kohen, and the Kohen said, this is something that requires quarantine, this is something that, you know, we need to keep an eye on. So what they would do is they would lock the person up for a week, and then if nothing happened after a week, they would lock him up for a second week. Shechin and Mikvah, however, are unique, that both of them are metavim b'shavua echad. That metama only 1 week, not 2 weeks. Additionally, b'shnei simanim, when we want to determine whether or not this person developed simonim of tumah, there's two simonim that we look out for. Number one is seir lavan, did it develop a white hair? Number two, bepisyoin, did it spread? As opposed to other negayim that have different simonim. Well, if that's the case, the Shechin and the Mikvah are mamish one and the same. Why are they two parashiyos in the Torah? We have the parish of Shechin, the parish of Mikvah. We could have lumped them all together. Says the Braisa, it's coming to teach us that the two are not going to be mitzarf. What does that mean? There's a certain shear that a nega has to have in order for it to be metama. The shear is a gris. In the event that somebody would have a half a gris of shchin and a half a gris of mikvah, it wouldn't be mitzdarf. And that's why the Torah went ahead was mechalak. So even though the shulchan aruch of each one of them is identical, but at the same time, there is a nafkemina between shchin and mikvah, because if somebody has a gris of shchin, he's tamei, a gris of mikvah, he's tamei, a half a gris of each, he's not going to be tamei. V'tanya, we looked at another brayz, elzeh, shchin ve'ezo mikvah. What is the technical definition between shchin and mikvah? Again, we spoke this all out already. Look, if somebody was hit with wood, be'evin, with stone, big gefes, Rashi says these are boiling hot or the psoilus of Zaysin, b'chamei tveria, or if somebody was had chamei tveria poured on him, or anything that has some form of heat, but the heat didn't come from fire, lasuye, what's that coming to be marber? Wait, what's that last line? You already mentioned a bunch of things. So what else is included in b'chol davish loyba machmas or lasuye avar meikaray? If somebody mines lead, as soon as the lead comes out of the mine, at that point it's hot. Either way, zel shchit. All these things are considered shchit because all these things can cause damage. All these things even have heat, but the heat is not fire. It's not machmasa or vezel michva. What's an example of michva? Michva begacheles. In the event that somebody was burned through coals, beremetz. If somebody was burned through remetz, besid, which is lime, reisech, that's burning. Begifsis, reisech, Rashi says a different type of lime. Or anything else that comes from fire, lasuye, what? Chamei or like water that was heated on a stove that had fire. Zui michva. This is going to be michva. So again, we have a couple of things that we know now. Number one, the laws of shchin, the laws of michva are identical. What's the nafkimina? It's negeya being mitzarev to the sheer gris. Another thing we know what a michva is and we know what a shchin is. One comes machmas fire, the other one doesn't come machmas fire. We need one more braisa before we can understand the ibaya v'tanya. And we learned in another braisa, shchin u'michva, as it relates to someone that has shchin and michva. Im shchin koydem le michva, batol michva es hashchin. The michva koydem es le shchin, batol shchin es hamichva. Meaning, what would be if somebody had a shchin and a michva? So something happened to him that developed the two. Number one, he has the shchin. Number two, he has the michva, right? So he has the two things. Do we look at it now as shchin or do we look at it now as a michva? The answer is we look at how it developed. What came first? If first it was shchin and then it developed into michva, batol michva es hashchin. If first it was michva and then it was shchin, batol shchin es hamichva. We always go baser, delishna, basra. Whatever came second, that's always what we're going to look at. With this introduction, says the Gemara, let me explain to you what the Ibaya was. Again, Ibaya lehu libein shvud, vehikaboy, mishum shchin nidemboy, or mishum nichva nidemboy. What's the shay? Levahacha, hechidom, you can go into havi bechatzi gris shchin meikar. A person had a chatzi gris of shchin. That's what he has right now. So right now he has a chatzi shir of tzaras. What type of tzaras shchin? Velibein shvud. And then he went, he was malabin a shvud, vehikaboy. Probably didn't do it to himself. Somebody did it to him, and he was now hit. The nafak bechatzi gris acher, and now all of a sudden another chatzi gris developed. The question is, does that other chatzi gris have the ability to be mitzdar for the chatzi gris of shchin to say that we have a full gris of shchin? Hence, the person's going to be tamei, or do we look at the other chatzi gris as being a michva and it's not going to be tamei? Now, what's a tolian? It's tolian when this person was hit with this boiling hot spit. What came first? Did the michva come first? That would mean the shchin came second. So you have two half a zeis grises of shchin, it's going to be mitzdarev. Or did the shchin come first? In which case the michva came second. So we go bas to what came second. You have a chatzi gris of this, chatzi gris of that. That's all part of the hakdama. It's not going to be mitamas. It says the Gemara, in a venigmai, chavata koidim. Do we say that first came the chavata, first came the hit, which created the inflammation, which created the shchin, and then what came afterwards? The michva basi havla u'mevatalei l'chabata. So the hevel, the michva that came second, knocked out the chabata, knocked out the shchin. V'havalei shchin u'michva. If that's the case, you have a chatzi gris of shchin that you had before, and now what we just paskin on the other chatzi gris, it's a michva v'lei mitzafrin sam mitzaref. Or do we say havla kadim? First the hevel came, v'asi chabata mevatalei l'havla, and then afterwards the chavata came, and that knocked out the hevel. Well, if that's the case, first came the michva, then came the shchin. So what second is the shchin? So I have now another half a gris of shchin. Well, the havel is shchin or shchin. So I had the first chatzi gris of shchin and the second chatzi gris of shchin, umitztarif. And if that's the case, it should be able to be mitzarif. This was a long-winded question, very much a digression from the beginning of Maseches Chulin. But as we can tell, if we're holding cheshbin, very much related to the very first halacha of the daf, right? Again, what was the ibaya? Libein shvud v'hikaboy. Mishom shchin nidoin, and mishom nichva nidoin. L'mayin afgemin, if somebody already had a chatzi gris of shchin. Good. What's the tzadei ashayla? In a situation where libein shvud v'hikaboy, What comes first? Is the hikaboy, the chavata, comes first? Or is it the libein? It's the michva, it's the havala that comes first. There's a shmeis that's going to be mashpia, and there's a burn that's going to be mashpia. And they're happening bevas achas. But the question is, scientifically speaking, which one comes first? Do we say it's the hit, hence it's the shchin? Or do we say it's the burn, hence it's the michva? With a grace and nafkimina lalocha in the event that a person had a chatzi gris, because whatever came first, we actually don't cheshben, because you always go basner the lishna achrina. What's the obvious sushtal? So again, we're speaking this out all balpeh. The obvious sushtal is this was Mamish Reb Zeira's halacha, right? What Reb Zeira say in the name of Shul? Libein sakin v'shachata, shchitasik sheir. What was it based on? Chiduda, koidim lelibuna. Now, he was discussing Hilcha Shchitas Chulin. This is discussing the laws of Teras. But isn't the underlying principle the same? Where somebody goes ahead, he shechts with a messer, a chalif, that's burning hot. And now, the question is, what was Mashpi on the Simonim? Was it the chidud, the hakah? Or was it the fact that the sakin was libein? It was the srefa. Was it the chavata or was it the havel? And what did Reb Zeira paskin in the name of Shmuel? He said, libein sakin. So if as it relates to shchita, it's chiduda koidem lelibuna, that means what comes first? First the chavata comes. See, you think in our case, what comes first? First the hakah comes, which is the shchen. Then comes the libun, which is the michva, which means the michva second, which means an aribaya, where there was a chatzi gris of shchen. It can't be mitzdarif, and this person is actually going to be tahar. So let's read inside. Touch my eyes, Dr. Gemara. Tom Reb Zeira, Mash Shmuel, Ibn Sakev, Shachav, Shchitasik Sheira, Chidu, Da Koidem, Lulibuna, Almo, Chavata, Koidem. It's the Gemara. You see, clearly, Chavata comes first. Dr. Gemara, Chidu, Chayni. Over there, it's different. Over there, it's Chiduda. Over there, it wasn't just a hit with a baseball bat. It was something very, very sharp. Reb Zeira said, Chidu, Da Koidem, Lulibuna. When we're dealing with something very, very sharp, that's when you have this halacha. But if somebody would be hit, and the thing is hot, lav davke, this is the way it would be. It's a good sushtel, but at the same time, it's a failed attempt. Sok to Gemara Tashma. I can bring you a raya from a furish of raya that discusses the laws of tzaras. So this is not mimerchak tavi lachmai. This is something that's literally on point. Libein shvud. Vehikaboy nidam mishon michvas esh. Oh, wow, pretty mafurish. Libein shvud. Vehikaboy nidam mishon Michvasesh. Alma, what do you see from here? Chavata Kodem. The Chavata must come first, right? Because whatever second, that's what's needed by. So if it's needed by Mishon Michvasesh, must be the Chavata came first. Bottom line is, it's a Mefurish Atashmat to this. The Gemara says, Hasam Nami, believe it or not, there's no Raya. Because you could always say, the Barze Mivris. Maybe the thing that the person was hit with was something that was very, very pointy. The Hainu Chidud, which is the same as Chidud, which means the Chidud Shaini Dichu that the Gemara said on Reb Zeira's halacha would apply equally here. The bottom line is, there's no Hechrich 100% to say that we're dealing with a situation that wasn't Michudad, and as a result, there's not necessarily a Raya. Mivris, by the way, means pointy, and if you're not sure, look at Rashi. Rashi says point palaz. But the bottom line is, this is what Mivris means. By the way, another interesting Rashi, Libein, first Rashi on the Amud, means that it was very, very hot, right? So if you look at the top Rashi, Libein Ba'ur, Beloshen Chachamim Nikra Libun. When something is very hot, Chazal referred to it as white hot. Ubeloshen HaLayazim, but if you speak to the Layazim, right? Kairin Bad Mumis, they call it red hot. So we're used to thinking of red hot, but in the Gemara, it's always not red hot, it's actually white hot. And that's why you always use the word Libun when you're describing something that's very, very hot. Before we go right there and we turn our attention to the taruvis component of today's daf, there's a nifle de Gemara Makim in the Chassam Sofer al Hashas, right here on this Gemara. The Chassam Sofer says, quote, V'shamati mimoiri hagoyin hafla zeich tzadik levracha, b'simchas Purim. Said, I heard from my Rebbe the hafla, it was during a Purim Suda. He said, Hod the pshita le Reb Zeira. This the Reb Zeira knew with a pashtos. The chidud the koidem le libuna. Umarvach ravach. Right? This whole thesis of Reb Zeira. Libein sakim v'shacha b'shchitasik shera. Based on two chidushim, like we said. Number one, chidud the koidem le libuna. Number two, You have to worry about the tzad then, because beis hashchita is mirvach ravach. Said the hafla during the Purim Suda. You know, Reb Zeira knew this. Don't mean a parak amid the Megillah, because the Gemara says in the first parak of Masechet Megillah that Zayin amid beis that Rabba and Reb Zeira once providing Suda's Purim together. And in the middle of the Suda, come Rabba v'shachted the Reb Zeira. Rabba got up and he shechted Reb Zeira. The efshir said the hafla shachtoi besakin roiseach. Could be. Didn't know this for sure, that he shechted him with a sakin roiseach, shayimunach ala shulchan besudas porim, that was on the table during sudas porim, viyada Reb Zeira, and Reb Zeira chapped how exactly he was slaughtered, vihirgish benafshe, he was margishit, and this is what the Afla said, and the Chassam Soifus, everybody laughed. It was during the Purim Suda, he says, Reb Zeira became azabaki in shechita, ein chacham kibar anisoyin. He wasn't a sheikhet, he was a nishchat. And as a result, he knew exactly how this played out. He knew it was chidu de koidam lelibuna, and that simanu were mirvach ravach. Sokta chsam soifer, this is what I heard from the Rebbe, the Hafla. Behine. Sokta hilge chsam soifer. This line is from the most epic lines in all of the Sfarim of the chsam soifer. He says, even though when the Hafla said this, he was saying it to make gishmak. It was what we call Pirim Torah. Abinirali, I believe, being that these words came out of the mouth of that holy person, it can't be that it's a bigaret and that it's shtisim. It has to be that there's some emes to it. Because if my Rebbe the Hafla said these words, even though he said it when he was a bebchinas adela yada, and even though he said it l'chuk and he said it during a simchas purim, but if there was a mashahu of yigia that my Rebbe exerted, it didn't go l'rik. It couldn't have gone for ways. The reason this line is so epic, you see the chshivas that the Chassam Soifer had for his Rebbe the Hafla, which he also had for his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler Kiyadua. But the bottom line is, said the Chassam Soifer, even though the Hafla said this, Torah is Purim Torah, it's impossible, it's inevitable, there has to be some oimek over here. And Zok the Chassam Soifer, I'm going to tell you that I believe there is some oimek. After Rabbi shechted Reb Zeira, said there was a big problem, right? We just lost Reb Zeira. So the Gemara says they davened and Reb Zeira was zeichet to tchias ameisim. Zok the Chassam Soifer, it's pasha to me. If there was a way for Reb Zeira to have lived al pi derech hateva, and not to have to come on to one of the gimel mafteches that alei nimsru biad shliach, not to have to come on to tchias ameisim, that would have been a much better option. But what are you supposed to do? Come Rabbi shechted Reb Zeira. And being that he shechted him, there was really no way out. But Zok the Chassam Soifer, it's not so pasha. See, because there's a sugi in the very end of Masechtas Yevamos. This is Yevamos Taf Kuf Chaf. This is an old Aguna Sugis that discusses what would be if an aide or two aiden would come and they would say that, you know, we saw Pliny, we didn't see him dead, but we saw somebody take a knife and he literally whacked him. He was meguyad. He was literally bleeding out and he had this severe, severe wound. And it's a shaila, it's a machlokes between a Mishnah and a Braisa, whether or not mi'idin ala meguyad, they ain't mi'idin ala meguyad. The Gemara said, Rava, my Rava said, that the Braisa that says, ain't mi'idin ala meguyad, that just because somebody's a meguyad doesn't necessarily mean that this person is going to die, it's possible for him to make it out alive, is really not at odds with the other Chazal that says, yeah. The one that says a person could make it out when he's a Megoyed, ain me'idin ala Megoyed, it's talking about where he was shachut besakin milubenas, where the sakin was very, very hot. And the reason where the sakin is hot, it's different, is because as the sakin goes, and as the sakin gets the person, it cauterizes the wound. And as a result, this person's able to make it out alive. So in the event that the person was meguyed through a regular sakin, okay, mi'idin ala meguyed. If, however, this person was killed besakin that was milubenes, it was white hot, in a situation like that, ain mi'idin ala meguyed. And there's no machloikis, Dr. Rava. The Gemara is making big machloikis, and Rava says no reason to make a machloikis. There's two different types of knives. There's a musig where somebody was slaughtered with a regular knife. In a situation like that, he has no way to make it out alive. If, however, it was a sakim melubedes, over the divrei hakol, it's not going to be an issue. So the Chassam Soifer said, Reb Zeira knew that he was killed by Rabba. So Reb Zeira knew he was killed by Rabba. He didn't understand why the Eibush did not just make it that he should be able to live. Now, you're going to tell me because the Eibush felt it was his time? It's not true. You see, it was Eich Tetchis HaMesim. He came back alive. And the Eibush is Memai Penes. If there would have been a way, I'll be Derech HaTeva for him to live, he should have lived. Now, okay, how's he supposed to live B'Derech HaTeva? He was just slaughtered. What do you mean? To the extent that the knife was resech, that was Daflo's hanocha. To the extent that the knife was resech, if it was a boiling knife, Rava said in Yevamos Daf Kufchav besakim elubedes de v'yakoil. Everybody holds the person can live. So as he was slaughtered, he should have been cauterized, and like this, he would have made it out alive, and there wouldn't have been a problem. So Rav Zeira said, you know what pshat must be? It must be because if somebody shechts the simonim of a person, besakim and lubenes, there must be two things that happen. Number one, chiduda kaidim lilibuna. So before any heat is able to even go on to the person, the spitz of the knife goes ahead and it severs the simonim. Aivo ikut stodim. What was the Gemara's teretz? No, beis hashchita mirvach ravach. The beis hashchita is mirvach ravach, and as a result, it's not going to be a problem. So the sakim and lubenes is never mashpia when you go ahead and do a shchita. I freak the chsam save the Gemara Yevamos Kufchav. Rava said mefurish besakim lubenis deriakol. The Gemara there is talking about where the person didn't have a shchita. It wasn't shchitas beisimonim. It wasn't the kan and the vashet. It was some other aver. And by the other ivarim, in the words of the chsam sofer over there, the teva is you don't have this thing of mirvach ravach. Mirvach ravach is dafka by the kan and the vashet. And by the kan and the vashet, this is chiddush of mirvach ravach. Now, how did Rabbi kill Rav Zeira? Come, Rabbi, shachte the Rav Zeira. See, when you're not learning chul and davches, Shachte is just a synonym of how you kill somebody. But when you're learning Shchul and Daf Ches, and when you're learning Masechta Shchul, and you know that Shchita has a meaning. And by the way, the Chassam Sofer doesn't quote this, but the Ramban that we mentioned, Ramban of Parshas Rei, says the Taitch of Shchita. It's the Taitch of Shchita. In the Taitchi, that's always Taitch of Shchita. It's Shchita's Beis Imanim. So come, Rabbi Shachtel, Rabbi Zeira, had to be the Kana and the Veshet. If it was the Kana and the Veshet, must be the reason there was no Derech HaTeva to go away for this to work out is because Chiduda was Kaidim Lulibuna. And Beis HaShchita, Mirvach Ravach, Dos Hata Haflogim Mate. When he said Rav Zeira knew it on his own, he knew it on his own. It was based on this. I just had one heart. This is Mamish, a Dover Nifla Adlam Oid. Again, it's a Bakanta Chsam Sefer. The line in the Chsam Sefer is more Bakanta than the Shtikal Torah, because let's be honest, the Shtikal Torah is a little harder. It's a little less Shovel Lechol Nefesh. But there's just one har I had. Again, can't ask kashas on Pidim Torah. But the only har is, it's Amar Rav Zeira Amar Shmuel, right? I mean, it just jumps off the page. Rav Zeira said it in the name of Shmuel. So it sounds like what Rav Zeira is saying, he had b'mesayra. And by the way, Rav Zeira is a Talmud Muvik of Rav. He was Mekabel Torah from Shmuel as well. But this even feels like one of the Gemaras where it's not even so much Shmuel the Meirah Hayra, it's even more Shmuel the doctor. But that's what it sounds like. We're dealing with the technicalities of the Kana and the Veshet, you know, Beis HaShchita, Mirvach Ravach, again, in Meshivin. But the bottom line is, this is a Nifladiga piece from the Chassam Sofer right here, Mesech Teschulon, Daf Ches Amar Aleph. And on that note, we now turn our attention to the next part of today's daf. So the introduction to the next part of the daf really is like learn the end of the Masechta and come back in Chazer. But obviously we're not going to do that. So we're familiar with the basic concept of Blius and Plaitis, right? So in the event somebody has a Taruvus of Issa V'Heter, where two things are mixed, Tipas Chala falls into a pot of basar. So there's a whole Shulchan Aruch of how we go about determining what the status of this taruvus is. Additionally, the idea of blius and plaitis is not only true when you have two foods that come together, but it's true even as it relates to kelim as well. So if somebody would cook diri in a fleshiga pot, you have to worry about the blius and plaitis. The reason is because we assume, being that the pot is fleshig, there's blius of pot in the doifnei hakteira, and when you subject it now to heat by cooking inside of it, so the blius are going to come out of the doifnei hakteira, get nisarif together with the diri, and as a result, you're going to have yourself a little bit of a taruvus. Another thing we know, if we've ever, pardon the pun, had a cup of coffee with the sugya of taruvus, is that a knife has a very unique place within the sugya of taruvus. And the reason is because there's an idea called duchka de sakina. And being that when somebody cuts with a knife, he uses a lot of pressure, uses a lot of force. So that allows blias and plaitis to happen in a way where ordinary contact with Kalim maybe wouldn't be able to happen. Either way, with that introduction, Zok Tehil Gugamar, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravur. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Baravur, a sakin shall avoidus kechavim. A sakin of avoidus kechavim. So what does this mean? Rashi says, Shem Shamshimba karbonoi shall avoidus kechavim. We're dealing with a knife that was used for the karbonois of Avodah Zarah, literally used to shecht Avodah Zarah. V'asur b'hana, Rashi says, such a knife is also b'hana, like the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Nunal from the base, Abe ta'avdan is kolam koimois, and we learn from there, b'kelish and ishtam shal Avodah Zarah, so we're dealing with Sakin shall avoid this kechavim, not the sakin of a goy. We're going to deal with that on Amid Beis. That's why we're making a big deal about this right now. We're dealing with a sakin of avodah zarah, literally a sakin that was used for avodah zarah. The issue with it, from a halachic perspective, right now, there are other issues as we'll see, but right now is because it's mishamshi avodah zarah, and mishamshi avodah zarah also ba'ana. So said Rav Nachman, the name of Rabbi Ravu, is stating that mutalishchit ba. Wow, this is a chiddush. If you want to go ahead and shecht, you're allowed to shecht. However, but also lachta ba'basa. But if you want to hack flesh, you want to carve a steak with it, that's something you're not allowed to do. Mutalishchit ba. You're allowed to shecht with it. Mekalkalu. Because when you shecht an animal, you're being mekalkel. Rashi says, when you have a live animal, there's a lot of things you can do with it. You can breed the animal, you can work with the animal, or you could save it for dinner at some point. Once you shecht it, there's only one thing you can do with it. You could eat it. So when you shecht it, you devalue it. You mekalkel it. I'm not having hanah from something that I'm not allowed to have hanah from. I'm being mekalkel as a result. However, and the reason is because once you already have a piece of meat, now to chop the meat up, that's right, the only way you're going to be able to eat it. So that's a maila. So being that now already you're being misakin it, that's something that's going to be aser. So as it relates to sakin shal avodas kechavim mutar lishchitba, because that's mekalkav also lachtichba basar, because that's misakin. Amar Rava, Rava said that if you understand what Rav Nachman just told you, then you'll know pamim shashoichet aser. There are times that'll be aser to shech, meaning even though we said mutar lishchitba, but that's only when you're mekalkav. Well, what would be if somebody would shecht in a case where he's misakin? What would be the situation? Be misukenes, in the event that this animal is about to die. Then you're misakin when you shecht it. The reason is because A, it's dying anyways. B, if you don't shecht it before it dies, it's going to be an avela. You're not going to be able to eat it. So then you're being misakin. There's also a time where it's going to be mutter to be mechatech. When is that? Ba'atmi de kaimen le korbana. If somebody has like a really nice piece of meat, a piece of meat that you can give somebody as a gift, something that looks chushiv when you bring it out and you put it on your Shabbos table. If you go ahead and you cut that and you just mess it up, then you're actually being mekalkel. So Rava said, the word of Nachman said, it's not a din in shechita versus just carving up meat. Are you being mesakin or being mekalkel? Usually shechita is mekalkel when you're being a chaytech baser, you're being mesakin, but it's possible it could be in the reverse, and if that would be the case, ein hachinam. Freit the Gemara kasha. But typically, I don't understand this whole Indian over here. How in the world are you allowed to use a sakin shal avodas kechavim? For shechita, sometimes for chituch baser. As if to say, the only thing you need to worry about when you have a sakin shal avodas kechavim is the iser hanah of avodah zarah. The only sugi that's negeya is avodah zarah 51b. Nothing else matters. Fate the Gemara v'tepek le'mishum sham nunis disura. Why are you not worried about the fat of the iser? Why are you not worried about the taruvis of macholis asurois for slikta in their sakin? Now, this is a very, very loaded question, right? And if you look in the Rishonim and Yoser Mizeh and the Achronim, it's a lot of different gangs that you can go with this. But for our purposes, this sakin was a sakin that was used by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, literally in their temples for the Avodah Zarah. Is there a chance this is a kosher knife? There's no chance in the world. Number one, we have to assume it's not a kosher knife because they probably use it to carve up their feasts and their dinners. So that in and of itself should be a problem. But even more than that, when they actually shecht the avodah zarah, just shechting the animal, that in and of itself should create a problem. And the reason is, as we're going to see on Amud Bey, it's going to be a big discussion, because you would think just the knife going through the animal and the heat for stitzach in that little scene would be enough to create blias and platis, so that the knife is boileya from this animal, which, by the way, is avodah zarah, it's nevela, right? There's a lot of things going on over there. And if that's the case, this sakin should be a very problematic sakin. And if you're going to want to use it now for your shechita purposes or for you to cut basa, that should definitely be an issue. In other words, in short, the Gemara's kash is that why are we only worried about the iser of having anah from the avodah zarah? Why are we not worried about iser v'heter? What's the iser v'heter? Lufum riyato, we just came up with three things. Number one, it's you're talking, they use it to carve flesh. Number two, the shechita itself probably causes the sakin to be bailea, which would then result in two issues. Number one, the animal's an avela, and number two, the animal's a shtik avoda zara. And if that's the case, you certainly can't be nana from a cheftza of avoda zara. So, freik de gemara akasha, v'tepek lei, mishum sham nunis de isura, sok de gemara b'chadasha. Maybe. What was going on over here? When Rav Nachman said sakin shel avodas kachav mutar lishchepa, he meant a sakin that was never actually used for avodah zarah. It was just set aside to be used for avodah zarah. Hazmana milsei. It was set aside, but it was never used. Being that it was never used, there's no shamnunis of it. So the only shaila is it was set aside for avodah zarah. Maybe it has a din avodah zarah, and that's what we're saying. That's only going to be an issue if you're actually having enough. You're being masakin. Now if you're not having enough, if you're being mekalkel. But the Gemara says chadasha. Is that a problem? Bein l'Rabbi Shmuel, bein l'Rabbi Akiva. Sayin koin to Yishmael and sayin koin to Rabbi Akiva. Masham shevaydus kechavim heim. All these things are, meaning the knife is just something that services the avodah zarah. Masham shevaydus kechavim ein asurim ad sheyavdu. And masham shevaydus zarah is not asur ad sheyavdu. So who's this Rabbi Shmuel? Who's this Rabbi Akiva? So Rashi quotes that same sugyan avodah zarah no nala from the base with was machlekes Rashi Rabbi Akiva as it relates to avodah zarah itself. In the event that you have a avodah zarah, where nobody ever worshipped it, but it was set aside for that, do we treat it like avodah zarah or not? But in that sugyan it's mavur. The sugi is only for the etzim avodah zarah, but mishamshi avodah kechavim. Everybody agrees it's not a problem. So can't say it's talking about chadasha because we're dealing with mishamshi avodah kechavim. And bein Rabbi Shmuel, bein Rabbi Akiva, that's not going to be an issue. So because the Gemara comes up with two different etzes, meaning why Rav Nachman and Rabbi Baravua and Rava, they're all handling over here whether or not you could be nene from the sakin. You can't be nene from the sakin. What happened to the shamnunis of Isser? So Iba is saying, if you want, you can say the pasak bogavs. It's talking about where this sakin wasn't used to shecht animals. It was used to chop wood. Who said it was used to shecht animals? I mean, that's what we assume the sakin was used for, right? You're learning chulin, so you're certainly going to think that. But mechatesi, maybe it was actually used to chop wood. If that's the case, you have a problem of mishamshi avodas kechavim, but at the same, you don't have a problem of shamnunas of iser. You could say biyashana. No, it was used for flesh, and it was used. However, shalib nabur, maybe you kashed it already. So as it relates to the shamnunas of Isser, you went through the hagola process. So that's not an issue. What's the problem? The problem is misham shevayis kechavim. Misham shevayis kechavim. That's not something that you have to worry about unless you're benefiting from it. And hence the chiluk between shchita and being chaytach basa, are you being masakin? Or are you being me'akalkal? Me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa'inyan. Itmar, shaykhid b'sakin shal'ev de'kechavim. If somebody shechts with a knife of oiv de'kechavim, Rav Amar Rav says, koylev, v'rabba bar brachana amma madiach. Rav brachana says, you have to go ahead and you have to wash it. So here Rashi says, what does it mean, shaykhid b'sakin shel oiv de'kechavim? Over here, what we're referring to is the sakin of a guy. So we're not dealing with the sakin of avoidas kechavim. That was the case in Amar Aleph. Here it's a sakin shel oiv de'kechavim. So there's no avoidas zara sugya over here. What is the sugya? The sugya over here is the fact that you have a knife, and the knife is a chazarish knife because it's used by oiv de'kechavim. So you went ahead and you shechted an animal with it. So the question is, now what? So according to Rav Koylev, what is Koylev? That's Miloshin Kidei Klipa, right? You take off a certain layer of it, and then the rest of the animal is going to be okay. Rabbi Bar Brachana said you don't even have to do that. Why lose the Kidei Klipa? Why lose a good piece of meat? Rather, Madiach, all you need to do is wash it, and if you wash it, then in and of itself is going to be fine. Says the Gemara Lema Bakum, if at first glance it would appear that the following is the machloek, is the mar sofer. Beis ha-shchita tzoyin in mar sofer, beis ha-shchita reiseach. L'chura, what's the machloek if you have to take a k'day klipa, not take a k'day klipa? L'chura, the machloek probably is the beis ha-shchita a place of heat, or is the beis ha-shchita not a place of heat? What shaykh is, what does that have to do with anything? Because we know the only time blias and plate is transfer is if there's heat. So if there's no medium of heat, then you're not having the conversation as it relates to blias and plate. Okay, where's the heat over here? All you did was a shchita. Oh, so probably the beis ha-shchita, right? Feels like a varma place. So if that's the case, l'chura, that must be the shayla. Rav holds that the beis hashchit is reiseach. As a result, koylef, you have to do something. Whereas Rabbi Bar Brachana holds it's soinin. If it's soinin, all you have to do is madech. Now, why do you have to be madech? Because you're worried there might be a little shamnunis on the actual knife. So you just have to make sure there was nothing there. But there's no blias and plaitis. And as a result, the hadocha ba'alma in of itself is going to be okay. But the Gemara says, like, I can tell you everybody holds the beis hashchit is reiseach. Man, don't make koylef shap. But Umandama that said koilif, that's Rav, that we understand. Umandama madiach, the mandama that said madiach, if the base nashchit is reseach, so why is adach alone? Of course, I did the treaty simonim, lafuke dam loibali. Being that the simonim right now are being maflitam, so there's this idea that even Ivarim sometimes can't multitask and can't do two things, right? This is a theme in the sugyas of Taruvas. In this case, being that the simonim are busy right now, they don't have the ability to be by Leia. So it's true, there's heat, but at the same time, you don't have the blias over here. Either way, the Gemara says that it's not muchach that the shaila is whether the Beis Shchita is Reisech at Tzoyinin. Because I can tell you, everybody holds it, it's Reisech. The reason is Mandama that holds Madiach is because of ID, the 3D, Simanim, Lafukidam, Lebab, Ikidam, some say just the opposite. The Kuliyam, everybody holds Beis Shchita Tzoyinin, the Beis Shchita is really Tzoyinin. Mandama Madiach, the Mandama that says Madiach Shaper, that's good, right? Because if it's Tzoyinin, I understand why you don't have to be Koilif. Mandama Koilif, the Mandama that said Koilif, Agav Duchka, the Sakina Bob. It's true, it's Tzoyinin, but we're dealing with a knife like we mentioned in the introduction. A knife is different because of Duchka, the Sakina, and it's for that reason here it's bottom line is, Hashoychet Pesakin Shal Oivdei Kechav Machloikis Rav and Rabbi Barachana. Rav Makoylev, Rabbi Chana says Madiach. We have three Mahalchim, how you can learn it. Either they're arguing whether the Beis HaShchita is Reiseach or the Beis HaShchita is signing. Or everybody holds it's Reiseach. Rav that says Koylev Shaper and Rabbi Barachana that says Madiach. It's because it's as far as I did three this month, Lafukadam Loibali. Or you can say Fakir. Everybody holds that it's signing. Rav Rachana that says, Madiach is Shaper, and the reason Rav would say that you have to go and you have to be Koilef is because of this Svara that we're all sort of familiar with, and that is, there's something called Agav Duchka Desnakina Bala. One more Gemara. Sakin Trefa. What would be if somebody went with a Sakin and he shecht an animal that's a Trefa? So the question is, what now is the status of this Sakin? What's the shaila? The shaila is, do we say that being that the sakin shechted the treifa, so the sakin was boileya from the treifa, right? This is the reverse of the previous gemar. Previous gemar, you had a sakin shalev the kechavim, so that the sakin is being maflit into the behemoth. Over here, the sakin's not being maflit, the sakin is being boileya. What's it being boileya from? It's a kosher animal. It's not, it's treif. The animal was a treifa. So the Gemara says, "Pligi bar Rav Ravina was machlokes Rav Ravina." Chadama once said bechamin, once said that the halacha is that you have to do hagala on the sakin, and you have to do the hagala with chamin. The reason is because this is now a treifa sakin. We assume that it was by Leah. Bechadama betzayinin, and the other one said no, that you don't have to do a proper hagala with chamin. All you have to do is with tzayinin, and is meat of treifas, you want to wash it off. But to do a proper agola based on blias and platis, that's not something you have to worry about. And the Gemara says, Vehilchus, I'm going to tell you what the halach is. The halach is afilu betsoinein, that even betsoinein, it's going to be okay. Meaning you're not going to have to do chamin. So the Gemara over here brings a similar shaila, and in this case, the Gemara actually goes ahead and paskins. We'll get back to this in a second. And let's say the person has a worn out, Rashi says a parsa is a curtain, to go ahead and clean the knife with, then late tzarech, you don't even have to wash it with cold water. As long as you clean it off a little bit, that in and of itself is going to be okay. Freit the Gemara kasha. According to the mandama that says that you need to clean it with hot water. Now we don't know who it is, because it was Ravina Ravach, it was a Chadama Chadama. But whoever that Manda Amar is, whoever's the one that says Chamin, my timer, what's the reason? Mishum de Kabbalah Isura, right? It's obviously because you shechted with this sack in the treifa. So you were by Leia from the treifa. Well, Freit the Gemara, that Teir Nami Bala Eva Menachai. Every single time you shecht an animal, isn't it being by Leia Eva Menachai? So if it's being by Leia Eva Menachai, you should always, every single time a Shaykh does a shechit, you should have to take the sack in and go ahead and do a Hagala Bechamin. So the Gemara says, that's not a kasha. Why? Because Emas Bala the Chichaima. When did the blias happen? When the Beis HaShchita gets hot. And Amos Kochaimu, when does the Beis HaBliya get hot? Lichi Gomra Shchita, at the end of the Shchita. Now, Hishayta Teirav, at that point, it's Heter, it's not even Nachai anymore. And as a result, this is not something that you're going to have to worry about. So this last Gemara, again, we're going through these Gemaras way too quickly, I understand. But guilty as charged. But this last Gemara of Sakin Trefa, where it was Pligi Bar Rav Acha v'Ravina, it felt a lot like the previous Gemara, right? The Gemara of Ashechet Pesachin Shalayv Dekechavim. Now there it was Rav and Rav Brachana, here it's Rav Acha v'Ravina, Chadama Chadama, but at the end of the day, it seems like a very, very similar Shaila. In fact, the way Rashi explains the Shaila, the Machlokes Rav Acha and Ravina, is whether or not the Beis Hashchita is Reiseach, or the Beis Hashchita was Tzayin. If the Beis Hashchita is Reiseach, then when you shecht a trefa with a sakin, the sakin is Beileh. If it's Tzayin, then it's not Beileh. Right? So, at first glance, the way Rashi explains the machloikas between Rav Acha and Ravina, it's similar to the first of the three pshatim that the Gemara had as it relates to sakin shal oiv dekecha. Right? Why is this significant? It's significant because the Gemara here paskind. The Gemara said v'hilchas afilu b'tzoyin. And if this shayla is a shayla of whether or not the Beis Hashchita is reiseach and tzoyin, and we're paskining that it's tzoyin, because v'hilchas afilu b'tzoyin, so you don't have to worry about doing a proper hagala. That means in the free of the gesugi, we're coming out that everybody holds that the Beis Hashchita is tzoyin. Now, is that a hachro on the machloikis Rav and Rabbi Bar Bachana as it relates to Hashaycha b'sakin shalev t'chavim? Well, it depends. If you hold that the machlokes was whether the Beis Hashchita is Tzoyinin or Reiseach, yeah, you were just machriya, it was a v'hilchasa. If you hold that, faker, the only way you can make sense of the machlokes is if everybody holds that the Beis Hashchita is Reiseach, well, if you know it's Tzoyinin, so again, you know for sure that in that sugya, it's madich, you're not going to have an issue. However, the Gemara in the third side said that even if you learn that everybody holds that the Beis Hashchit is Soine, there's still mockim to say that it's going to be different. That's because of Tuchke de Sakina. Well, if that's the case, just because we were Machriya, that the Beis Hashchit is Soine, Lav Dafke was Machriya the Free the Geshayla. But here's that follow up question. The question is, what happened to Tuchke de Sakina in this Gemara? Behilchas a bit Soine, Lacherish, I mean two things. Number one, Beis Hashchit is not Reiseach. And number two, there's no Sfaru of Tuchke de Sakina. So were we what Peshit the Shayla? So if you look in the Rishonim say, that could be, yeah, could be we were Peshit the Shayla. Just because we approach this shayla doesn't necessarily mean there's a pshitus in the free digger shayla. And the reason is one chiluk. Over there, the sakin started off the iser. It has the blius in it already. The sakin is being mafled into the animal. Over here, you started off with a sakin that was kosher, and the question is it being bailea? There's makim lechalik, and this is a huge sugya, like we were makdim in the beginning. Again, tein lechacham, v'yech gemoy, but this concludes the daf portion of Mesechtes Chulin Daf Ches. But just to end with one raid bite, and this is a part two to raid that we spoke about earlier in the week. So, in the beginning of the week, on Daf Dalet, we had the schus to talk a little bit about Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, the author of the Deiros HaRishonim, and his legendary Avoida, which in many ways was a Mesiris Nefesh, to counter a lot of the Haskalah and a lot of what the Yidden were dealing with in the late 19th century, early 20th century. And essentially what he did was he went and he wrote a history of the Jews, focusing on points that the Maskilim were chapping with, most notably the formation of the Talmud. Unbeknownst at the time, today, Chaf Ir is Rabbi Isaac Halevi's yard site. And I think it's kedai, therefore, to go now and do a part two, Sheyiyu, Sefsois of Dei Vois Bekefer. So one of the chidushim that we mention, that Rabbi Isaac Halevi makes a very big deal about, is that we're accustomed to thinking that who is the author of the Talmud Bavli? It was Ravina Ravashi. It's based on a Lashon HaGemara, Masechtes Bava Metziah, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. But said Rabbi Isaac Halevi, that if you go through the process of the formation of the Talmud, from the Talmud itself, and you know which sugyas are dealing with Sidur Hashas, what you're going to realize is that there's another hero in the story that's going to emerge, and that is Rav Acha Berei Derava. Just to quote again from the Deiros HaRishonim, this is in Chelek Vav, it's page 80. Hurgalnu lachshav rakes Ravina lo imid al yad Rav Ashi u'misayeya b'sidur Hashas. Aval ha'ma'ayin yira, ki levad shar chachomim sheyovei zichram u'porash asmaseyem b'chelek shalufneze, hinei omed al yodei Rav Acha Berei Derava al derech
זה עצמוי שעומד אימוי רבינו. ויהי גם רב אחר ברי דרובה מהאוידרים הראשונים הבוינים באיכל השם, אשר עוסקו עם רב אשיח.
Incredible language from the authority on this sugya, the world-leading expert. And that is that you'll see from the sugyas that deal with Sidur HaShas that Rav Acha Brei Derove is loipachas v'lo yoyser. He's oimed liad yeminoi, not on the left side, on the right side, together with Ravina. Right, you could say Ravina's on the right side of Rav Ashi, and Rav Acha Brei Derove is on the left side. But that's why we have to be medayik l'shoinei azov shal adayrus harishoinim. He's together with Ravina on the right, two right hands. One is Ravina, and the other one is Rav Acha Brei Derove. And we said that obviously this sheds an enormous amount of insight, just in terms of, first of all, who was Rav Acha Brei Derove? Additionally, all the different times in Shas where you're going to see Rav Acha Brei Derove, but specifically, Chulin Da Beza Meralev, oh, Malay Rav Acha Brei Derove, the Rav Ashi. This is not just another conversation between two Amiram, but these are two Misadrei HaShas, and in real time we're being given access to a process that happened more than 1,500 years ago of how exactly the Amiram created this incredibly epic work that we know as the Talmud Bavli. So again, I don't think an Archabura will ever look at Rav Acha Brei Derove the same as well. And Beis Hashem, we'll see, Rav Acha Brei Derove comes up so many times. Befrat, we said, Karev to 100 times. Amalei Rav Acha Brei Derove to Rav Ashi. But the truth is, Rav Acha Brei Derove comes up even more times than that. You know why? If you look in the Sefer HaYuchsin, and I saw this in the Toldos Hanam Amiram as well from Baron Hayman, they both say that every single time you have Stam Rav Acha in Shas, Stam Rav Acha in Shas is Rav Acha Brei Derove. When was the last time we had Stam Rav Acha in Shas? Last Gemara that we just learned. The Gemara said, Sakin Trefa. This is not rehearsed. Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. It was a machloikis. Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad ama b'chamin v'chad ama b'tzoynin v'hilchasa afilu b'tzoynin. So we had a Rav Acha. We just learned Rav Acha b'Rei Derove. He was mentioned as Rav Acha, but it's Rav Acha b'Rei Derove. And we have a machloikis between Rav Acha and Ravina. Now I'm going to tell you something interesting. You have a machloikis between Rav Acha and Ravina. It's a chad ama chad ama. You don't know who said what. See, what do you usually do when you have a Gemara where there's a chad ama chad ama? You don't know who said what. So it's pashi. You go. You pull out that very thin sefer, which is Mi'ata Kamus V'Roiva Eches. It's called Shem Olam, and you figure out who said what. But for this machloikis, that's really not what you're supposed to do. Gradi has a lot of Torah on this, but over here it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtas Psochem Daf Ayin Dalam Beis. Incredible. The Gemara says like this: Umtza Bei Umizriki. Three sugyas that are rather chulin related, but not for now. Pligi Bar Rav Acha V'Ravina. It was a machloikis Rav Acha V'Ravina, and then the Gemara says, as an aside, parenthetically, b'chol ha-teira kula, throughout the entire Torah, I mean throughout Shas, Rav Acha l'chumra v'Ravina l'kula. Rashi says, any single time you find in Shas machloik is Rav Acha and Ravina, and you don't know who said what, zok the Gemara, you have to look in the Shem Olam. I'll tell you who said what. Rav Acha is always the one that's the machmer, Ravina is the mekel. So figure out who's the machmer, who's the mekel, you know who's going to said what. V'hil chazak Ravina l'kula. And I'll even tell you what the halach is. We always pass in like the Mekel, which again, if you assume Ravina is the Mekel, so we're always passing like Ravina. Levar mihani klas, with the exception of the aforementioned three, Umtza Bei Umizriki, over there, Rav Acha l'kula, this is a little faplunted, Ravina l'chomra, v'ilchzak Rav Acha l'kula, v'ilchzak Rav Acha l'kula. So we always passing like the Mekel, right? That's the bottom line. In every single case, with the exception of three, the Mekel is Ravina, we're passing like Ravina, and those three cases, Rav Acha is the Mekel, were passing like Rav Acha. But this was an inyan that happened so often where there was a Mesoira. I know Rav Acha said one thing. I know Ravina said another thing. I don't know who said what. And as a result, we had to come on to a klal. By the way, our sugya conformed with that, right? Pligi bar Rav Acha b'Ravina, chad ama b'chamin v'chad ama b'tzoynin v'chad ama b'tzoynin, right? And by the way, who's the one now that said b'chamin? We know it's Rav Acha. Who's the one that said b'tzoynin? It's Ravina. Because Rav Acha is always the machmer. Ravina is the maker, with the exception of those three. And the Gemara takel paskin v'chad ama b'tzoynin. The Gemara paskin like the maker. It stems with psachim ayin dalad ama beis. But here's the bottom line. You learn this, okay? So there must have been confusion. Rav Acha, Ravina. Why would people have confused Rav Acha, Ravina? I have no idea. I don't know. This is not my inyan. Let me look up the Deiris HaRishonim. Oh, that would have been a good move. Because if you look up the Deiris HaRishonim, it doesn't say this, but it's poshut. This is what's going on over here. It goes Rav Acha Ravina, they're both standing on the right side of Rav Ashi. So is it this right-hand man of Rav Ashi? Was it that right-hand man of Rav Ashi? Again, Rav Acha Stam is Rav Acha Brei Derove, and he is literally embedded together with Ravina und zusammen mit Rav Ashi. Their roles are mamish one and the same. Hence, you had this confusion of Rav Acha Ravino, Chadomar. Again, it just adds so much color and so much light to this Ravina and Rav Acha. I think it's mamish pilei ploy. But there's an obvious question then that needs to be asked. And that is that if Rav Acha Brei de Rava is Oymed Liad Yemin Shal Rav Ashi, literally together with Ravina, so why is it Ravina v'Rav Ashi Soifeira? Why is Rav Acha Brei de Rava forgotten? Why is the legacy of Ravina as being the Shutif of Rav Ashi? And somehow, Rav Acha Brei de Rava, until this week, at least amongst our friends, was completely forgotten. It feels like Ravina must have contributed something that Rav Acha Brei de Rava didn't, because if they're literally Shava B'Shava, then it's just not fair. Why is it Ravina v'Rav Ashi? And why is it not Ravina, Rav Ashi, and Rav Acha Brei de Rava? So the truth is, I'll tell you something very interesting. When we say the Ravina, Rav Ashi were the ones that wrote the Talmud, so we're accustomed to thinking there's Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi had the Ravina. Ravina, Rav Ashi talked throughout Shas. By the way, just if you know the background, Rav Ashi was older than Ravina, but Ravina was a Talmud of Rav Ashi. And the Gemara says in Erev and Samach Gimel that Ravina was a Talmud chaver of Rav Ashi in the Sugya Meir Alach B'fnei Rabbi. But the bottom line is that it's Ravina, Rav Ashi who lived together, they're contemporaries, and they worked on the Talmud Bavli, and this is the Ravina, Rav Ashi, Seferah. Pashut, right? Of course that's the way it is. It's actually not so pashut. Rav Shri Ragoyan, in his famous Igeres, he talks about the Chsimus HaTalmud and how it went about. And Rav Shri Ragoyan says something that at face value is maveldik. Rav Shri Ragoyan says Rav Ashi is the one that wrote the Talmud. However, even after Rav Ashi passed away, the Gemara was still being written. Ki yadua. And it didn't complete 100% in the times of Rav Ashi. It went weiter. And he goes and he traces what went afterwards. I'll just read a few excerpts. Achrei Rav Ashi, after Rav Ashi Molach b'Masa Mechassi Rav Yehmer. Rav Yehmer took over for Rav Ashi and Masa Mechassi. That was Asrei Damar of Rav Ashi. Acharav Molach Rav Idi Barabin. Acharav Molach Rav Nachman ben Ravuna. After him came Marba Rav Ashi. After him came Rabba Toisva. And then after that, B'yoyim Revi Yud Gimel B'Kislev Shnaz Dalet Alof and Reish Samach Nifter Rabbeinu Avina B'noy Shol Ravuna. Who Ravina? For who Soifaira? Says Rav Shiragoyin in the Igeres. You want to know who the Ravina that Soifaira is? Ayin, Bava Metzia, Pei, Bava Manav? It's a whole different Ravina. It's not the Ravina that's talking to Rav Ashi. This Ravina is older than Rav Ashi, and if you do the math, he passes away almost 100 years after Rav Ashi. So obviously, he's a completely different person. A bezok, Rav Shiragoyin, that when we say Ravina, Rav Ashi was Soifaira, we're not even discussing two contemporaries. It's fascinating. That Ravina, who's together with Rav Ashi, is not the Ravina that's Soifaira. It's a different Ravina, and he was also Chais in the Talmud, because there was a whole new edition, right, the second edition, Madura, whatever, and he was the one that put out the new one with the fancy, glossy everything, and he gets credit, he goes down in history as being together with Rav Ashi. To appreciate this a little bit better, we have to know not all Ravinas in Shas are the same person. Tosfos says there were two Ravinas, and if you go through these sugis of Seidat Deiris and Tal Dasanam Vamiram, what emerges is there were either three or four Ravinas. There were many Ravinas. Not all the Ravinas are the same person. You have Ravinas being one of the early Amiram, then you have the Ravina with Rav Ashi. Here's a Ravina that lived years after Rav Ashi. But the bottom line is, this Ravina of the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Pei Vav, thus is nisht the Ravina that's Oymed Liad Yemin Rav Ashi. That Ravina is part of Rav Ashi. When we say Rav Ashi was the one that was Chayis at the Talmud, we don't just mean Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is the chief editor, but it's Rav Ashi and his team, it's Rav Ashi and his staff, it's Rav Ashi and his Chavraya Kedisha. Yeah, Roisham is Ravina. Oh, by the way, now we know Roisham is also Rav Acha Brei de Rava. Why did Ravina not get the shout out? That Ravina that got the shout out is different Ravina. So Shaykh, it's a different Ravina. If that Ravina, Unzer Ravina, was getting the shout out, would have maybe said Ravina, Rav Acha Brei de Rava. Mechtesi not, Kushya may gar alessa. If you know this, he gets it from Rav Shira Goyim, so you know the Kasha, hype nishtun. It doesn't even start. Now, the reason this is not such a satisfactory answer is because this Mahalach of Rav Shira Goyin in who Ravina was is very, very mechudash. And if you look at the Rambam in his Akdamat Yad Chazaka, Rambam says clearly that the Ravina Rav Ashi that was Sefer Ra is the Ravina who was together with Rav Ashi. In fact, the Rambam says that after Rav Ashi was Nifta Marbere, the Rav Ashi took over and he was Mamish Chosin the Talmud. So again, it happened in steps for sure, but it's not some later Ravina. It's this Ravina. And if that's the case, Hadru Kushi Luduchte, if it's Ravina, as in Rav Ashi's Ravina, why Ravina? Why not Rav Acha Brei de Rava? So maybe we could just say one ha'ar and we're going to end with this. And that is, we once talked about the unsung hero of the Mishnah. And that was Rav Nosson HaBavli. That same Gemara, Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, that says Rav Ashi v'Ravina Soif Hayra, it says the line right before that, Rebbe v'Rav Nosson Soif Mishnah. Rashi says that Rebbe and Rav Nosson together, they wrote the Mishnah. Now everybody knows who wrote the Mishnah, Rabbi Yudah Nasi. So how in the world was Rav Nosson HaBavli so forgotten? It's unbelievable. But what did he do? I mean, we know what Rebbe did. Rambam is Meirich in his Akdama to the Yad Chazaka. I mean, everyone knows this. So what exactly was Rav Nosson HaBavli's role that he somehow becomes the shutif, the silent partner, literally, of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? So we mentioned from Rav Reuven Margolis, in his Margolis Hayam, Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, he says something brilliant. He says that he believes Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi lived in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam is very Meirich, and he says that when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote the Mishnah, he was Mekabetz all the Chachamim, and he was Mekabetz all the different Mishnayos and the Braises, because he wanted to have the entirety of Teresh Baal Peh in front of him. And then, once he had that, he went and he did his job, Libun Acha Libun, pun intended, and then he went and he came out with the finished product that we know today as the Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, living in Eretz Yisrael, really only had access to half of the Messiah. Because we know that Klal Yisrael was really divided into two groups. There were the Yidden that were living in Eretz Yisrael, and the Yidden that were living in Bavel. How did he get access to the Yidden that were living in Bavel? Says Rav Reuven Margolis, Lulei de Mistafina, it could be he got that through Rav Nosson HaBavli. And by the way, that's why it's Rav Nosson, from all the Tanam he picked, it's because he was the Bavli. He was a Babylonian, and he needed a point person in Bavel to be able to assist him with this Avodah. Because remember, half the Yidden are here and half the Yidden are there, so to speak. And as a result, he needed somebody in Bavel to be able to assist him. And that's the legacy of Rav Nosson HaBavli. Avada, this Rav Yehuda HaNasi's project. Abul Amaisa, he's the CEO of the Babylonian chapter of this Avodah. And as a result, he goes down in history as Rebbe v'Rav Nosson Soif Mishnah. In that same piece, Rav Reuven Margolis, it's Ein Erochek Loimar, that the reason Rav Ashi had Ravina working together with him on the Talmud Bavli is because everybody knows that Rav Ashi lived in Masa Mechasi, lived in Bavli. You know where Ravina was? Ravina was in Eretz Yisrael the Yid. He was at Yerushalayim Yid. That's where he came. Probably from the Galil. But he was in Eretz Yisrael the Yid. Not going there now. But he was in Eretz Yisrael the Yid. And he too assisted Rav Ashi in the same way Rav Nosson HaBavli assisted Rebbe. And ultimately he was the one that was Mekabetz. He was the one that brought all the different halachas from Eretz Yisrael to Rav Ashi. So like this, Rav Ashi had access to everything that he had. You know, Toich Tvarv, in this piece, Rav Margolis says something brilliant. He says that we know whenever there's a machleik between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi, we paskin like the Talmud Bavli. So why are we paskin like the Talmud Bavli? And the Talmud Bavli is Ravina Rav Ashi. You know what the Talmud Yerushalmi or Rabbi Yochanan. So how's it possible? Halach is always like Rabbi Yochanan. So how could it be that we paskin like the Talmud Bavli over the Talmud Yerushalmi? L'chayru was supposed to paskin like the Talmud Yerushalmi, or Mehechatesi. Why should it be the Bavli over the Yerushalmi? Zok Rav Margolis, I think it's because when the Talmud Bavli was composed, they had the Torah from Eretz Yisrael, and they had the Torah from Bavel. It was Rav Ashi's Chiddush that he went ahead, and he had a side person. He had Ravina working for him, who brought all the Shmuis from Eretz Yisrael. Being that you had the Torah from Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, all the Torah was included, and therefore, it was more Choshev than the Talmud Yerushalmi, that all the Torah came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and that's the Maila that the Talmud Bavli had over the Talmud Yerushalmi. The truth is, Rav Reuven Margolis doesn't say this, there's a riff, The Rif happens to be Masechtas Erevin. It's tucked away from all places. The Rif addresses this Shaila. Why do we always paskin like Talmud Bavli over Talmud Yerushalmi? And the Rif says because the Talmud Bavli was written after the Talmud Yerushalmi. It was over 100 years later. And because it was later, we know when it comes to Halach, you always go Basa the Basra. But what's the Aymek? Why do you always go Basa the Basra? You go Basa the Basra because you assume whatever was later already took everything prior into account. That's what's going on here. The Talmud Bavli had access to the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi never had a Talmud Bavli. And where did the Talmud Bavli get access to the Talmud Yerushalmi? Zok Rav Reuven Margolis, this is his chiddush. It came from Ravina. Ravina was from Eretz Yisrael. By the way, just to bring out the point a little bit better, there's a tshuva from the Chavos Yoh that we've mentioned many times over the years. It's in Simin Tzadik Dalet, where he goes through his Klali Apsak. So it's not a sefer, it's only a tshuva, but it's mamish a sefer in the world of Klali Apsak. Simin Tzadik Dalet in Chavos Yoh. And the Chavos Yoh, one of the great poskim, said that whenever there's a machlokes Ravina Ravash, we pass like Ravina. Ravina over Ravashi? Yes. He says, why? Because Ravina came from Eretz Yisrael, Ravashi came from Bavel, and Avira de Eretz Yisrael machkim. And it's for that reason we pass like Ravina. Ravina is an Eretz Yisrael de Geyid. Ravashi was a Babylonian Yid. Ravashi needed someone from Eretz Yisrael, just like Rav Yehuda Nasi needed somebody from Bavel. Rav Yehuda Nasi had Rav Nosson HaBavli, and Ravashi had Ravina the Eretz Yisraeli. That's the flip side. But if that's the case, maybe that's the oimek. Maybe that's the pshat. Why Ravina gets the disproportionate shout out? Why is he the one that's on the pedestal? At the end of the day, it's Ravina and it's Rav Acha Brei Derava. So Mehecha Tesi, it should be Ravina more than Rav Acha Brei Derava. The Teretz is in terms of Sidur Hashas, in the Amalei Ravina le Ravashi versus the Amalei Rav Acha Brei Derava le Ravashi. I guess we could do a statistical analysis. But at the end of the day, Zok the Teretz Harishainim, Zok the Rav Yisak Isaac Alevi, I did the analysis for you. I'm telling you, it's mamish the same. There's no chilek whatsoever. But there was one element that Ravina brought to the table that Rav Acha Brei Derava didn't. That element was he was the one that was mekabitz the Torah from the land of Eretz Yisrael, which was not a dover cotton, because that's the reason we passed like Talmud Bavli over Talmud Yerushalmi. And just like you see, that's what gave Rav Nosson HaBavli the schus to go down as Rebbe and Rav Nosson. Well, that would have given Ravina the schus to go down. That would have given Ravina the schus to go down as Rav Ashi and Ravina being Seifaira. But just to end, and that is, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Lamed Vav Amar Aleph, it's also Gemara in Gittin Nun Tes Amar Aleph, the Gemara discusses over there all the people that were Torah v'gedula v'makam echad. And the Gemara says, Mi mois, Moisha v'ad Rebbe, loy matzinu Torah v'gedula v'makam echad, umi mois Rebbe v'ad Rav Ashi, loy matzinu Torah v'gedula v'makam echad. So who are the three tzaddikim that were Torah v'gedula v'makam echad? It's Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Rav Ashi. The Teres Chaim in Sanhedrin Lamed Vav Amar Aleph says that why was it Moshe, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Rav Ashi? He said because Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Teres Shabiksav. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi gave us the Mishnah, and Rav Ashi gave us the Talmud. He gave us the Gemara. And in order for someone to be able to embark on such a project, obviously he needed Torah, but he also needed Gedula, because he had to be Mekabitz, he had to be Malakit, he had to bring things from all over the world. The Avodah of writing the Mishnah required Torah of Gedula b'makom echad. That's why Mimois Moshe v'ad Rebbe loy matzino. Rebbe was someone that needed it. And then again, it wasn't something that had to happen until the Talmud was going to be written. And who wrote the Talmud? Rav Ashi. And that's why Mimois Rebbe v'ad Rav Ashi again loy matzino Torah of Gedula b'makom echad. You know who said this memra? Mimois Rebbe v'ad Rav Ashi. The second half of this memra loy matzino Torah of Gedula b'makom echad. If you open a Gemara and get in Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, it's Omer Rav Acha Berei Derava. Afani Yoimer, Ich Zog, Mi Mois Rebbe Vad Rav Ashi, Loi Matzinu Teru Malkam Echad. The Gemara had previously said Mi Mois Moshe Vad Rebbe. Rav Acha Berei Derava was a contemporary Rav Ashi. Rav Acha Berei Derava, who was part and parcel of this Avodah of the Seder Hashas. Rav Acha Berei Derava says, I had a seat at the table. I had a view of Rav Ashi from his left side. I was Yad Yaminoi. I was looking at him from that angle. And I saw that what Rebbe had, Rav Ashi also had. I saw the Torah v'gedula b'makom echad. I saw it play itself out like the Teres Chaim said in Sidur Hashas. This is another example of where you can't look at Rav Acha Berei Derava the same way again. And Rav Acha Berei Derava giving us this insight. He is the Marad Shmaita of Mimois Rebbe v'ad Rav Ashi loy matzinu Torah v'gedula b'makom echad.